This podcast was produced on the lands of the Kabi Kabi people. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging and thank them for how they have lovingly cared for and preserved the land, natural resources, and bush medicine in which we are inspired by today.
Welcome to the Students of Natural Health podcast. My name is Dana Laura. I'm a student naturopath from Australia, and I'll be your host for this episode. So today I'll be featuring an interview from someone who is also a student naturopath. She's one of the only content creators who's focusing on growing your online presence as a student on socials, and she has a very entertaining YouTube channel. Welcome to the podcast, Naz.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Me too. I felt like I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited to chat with you.
Oh my God. I hope you still got some sleep.
No, I did. I definitely did. Sleep is very important. As we know, all of the natural students out there, we know how important our sleep is.
Oh my God. I swear I like never shut up about sleep. I'm just like, I'm such a fan. It's like a drug that, you know, you don't need to take anything. You just go to sleep and oh my God, you wake up feeling freaking incredible.
Unless you got toddlers like me, or
oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine.
It's a wild ride, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. All right, so I have got a couple of questions for you, but before we get started, I'd love it if you could like introduce yourself to our audience and perhaps let them know a little bit about why you chose to study what you chose to study.
Yeah, no worries. Well, my name's Naz. I'm originally from Tasmania. I'm 26 years old. I started studying to be a naturopath in 2022. I've just been doing it part-time, so I've just been chipping away at it. Yeah, so the main reason I decided to study naturopathy was I grew up in a household where natural remedies were everything. Like, we rarely went to the doctor. We went to like naturopaths and, you know, different alternative health practitioners. So that was very normal to me. Like, we'd get sick, mum would pull out the olive leaf extract, the homeopathics and stuff like that, and was just completely normal to me. And we're all like pretty healthy growing up anyway, because we like mum ensured we had a really nutritious diet and stuff. So I think I was already really interested in natural health because of my upbringing, and so I knew I wanted to study something in that space, but I wasn't sure what. I tossed up between studying massage, studying to be a nutritionist and a naturopath for a good like year or two before I actually settled on naturopathy. My mom's always really encouraged us to go out and like work for ourselves, and you know, you go out and work for yourself, you can set your own hours, you know, it's on your own terms. So I really wanted something that gave me the ability to do that. And I wanted something that would be a strong foundation for everything I wanted to do in the future. Because another thing my mum's really instilled into me and my siblings is to have lots of feathers in your cap, as she says. So she's like, you know, go and get a solid foundation, whether it's a trade or a degree or something, and then go and do lots of like little short courses and stuff to build upon that foundation. So to me, it was like figuring out what the heck would be my foundation. And as I said, I was choosing between the three. And I ended up going with naturopathy because I loved that it included stuff to do with nutrition. Like, you learned about nutrition, but you also learned about herbs. And I wanted a mix of everything. So I went with naturopathy, and I'm so happy that I did. I swear the further I get into my degree, the more I love it. Like, every single subject I do, I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I was meant to do. Like, I'm so glad I picked this. I feel like that's really
sure. Rare
people that go and like do degrees. Like, I think a lot of people go and do degrees and they're like, oh, I don't really like it that much, but I'm just doing it because that's what I should do. Whereas the further I get into mine, I'm like, oh my God, this is like me in a degree. I love it.
it's such a life applicable degree as well too. Like, it's not like you've got you're getting a trade or you're getting a degree and you're like, oh, I can only use that in this certain space. Like, it resonates in every aspect of your life.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And I guess just to further that answer to that question as well, for me, like, I wanted something, like, I've always wanted to be a mum, and I probably won't have kids for a few years, but it's always been in the back of my mind that whatever I do as a degree, if I'm spending that much money, I want to help other people, but primarily I want to be able to support my family, like my family now and my close friends now, but my future kids. And that to me is my why for doing the degree. It's my biggest why, is so that my future kids
100%
Yeah.
100% I totally resonate with that. I feel like you've stolen the words out of my mouth. Like, that's such a big reason why I'm doing the degree as well, you know? Like, to be able to. And it's interesting. I don't know. Have you found that since starting the degree too, that you've had lots of family members come out to you and say, like, that they've, you know, they might have this ailment or they've got this sort of.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. And you're like, I'll just file that away and then I might be able to help you in the future.
Yeah, I've definitely had quite a few, especially like from my partner's family as well, ask me these questions. And I'm like, what you've just asked me is a very loaded question and I am definitely still just a student, but I'll file it away for future reference.
Give me a minute. I am going to find all of the research I can.
Literally, yeah. As well, in the past year, a lot more, like when I first started studying, everybody who I, you know, people would be like, oh, what are you studying? And I'd be like, oh, I'm studying to be a naturopath, or I'm studying naturopathy. And it would be like, oh, what's that? Whereas in the past 6 to 12 months, I've noticed so many more people, especially young people, like I'll say it and they'd be like, oh, that's so cool. Like, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I feel like there is a really big shift happening in the world at the moment. So many more people are studying natural health, or know what it, or they go to like a natural health practitioner and they know all about it, instead of being like, oh, what's that? I don't 100%. Know if you've noticed that.
No, I have. Because I was, you know, doing research into starting a natural health degree. I think everybody comes across that point where they're like, oh, expect people to say, what the heck is a naturopath? But I think in this world and this economy, we all have to be able to take our own health into our own hands. And I think that this is going to be a common thing. And it's amazing because, like, learning about the foundations of naturopathy, it's, you know, medicine for the people, and everybody wants it to be accessible to and common knowledge, you know. It's amazing. I think it's incredible. I'd like to know, you've already answered that you're on a part-time study load. How are you finding that? Is that working for you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I actually started at Endeavor College in 2022, as I mentioned.
Yes. I can't wait to pick your brain about that too.
Yeah. I started Endeavor College. I transferred to Torrens earlier this year. So I feel like I have a bit of a unique perspective because I've now studied at both universities, and they're the two main ones in Australia, right? So at the moment I'm doing one subject. The reason I'm only doing one subject at the moment is because I've actually just moved from Tasmania to Western Australia, and I knew that it was going to be in the middle of the trimester.
That's
so there was
huge.
No. Yeah. And we drove across as well. Like, it wasn't like I fly there and get there. So I knew that that was in the middle of the trimester. So I was like, I'll just do one subject so I know I'll be able to handle it. But yeah, so I started with Endeavor in 2022. The first subject I did was biochem. I don't know
why. Baptism by fire. Nice one.
Oh my God. One of my friends studies at Torrens, and at Torrens, that's a second year subject. And at Endeavor, it's in your first semester. And it was the first subject I ever did. And I literally got halfway through. I said to my partner, I feel like I'm going to fail this subject and I don't know if I can do this degree, which I feel like if you do biochem and it's your first subject, it's a pretty normal way to be thinking. But anyway, I ended up getting a distinction.
Amazing.
I have no idea. I know. I was like, what? And that was the point where I was like, oh, maybe I can do that. Can do this degree, you know? But anyway, so I started with one subject, and from then on, pretty much every semester I did one or two subjects. And the thing that I really liked with Endeavor that I don't think Torrens does is that you can kind of cross over like your study load. So at the time in 2023, so the following year, so I did biochem, got that out of the way. And then with some of my semesters, I could kind of blend them. So say I started a subject in July and I only was doing one subject, I could then do that subject for 2 months. And then in the third month of like finishing it, I could start another subject. So for a month there, I might be doing like two or three subjects, but then that first one would like finish. So you could kind of like bridge them. So I did that for a few semesters and I just chipped away. So I was working. So pretty much up until this year, I've worked like two or three jobs alongside my degree, which is why I studied part-time. And that's why I loved being able to do part-time, because I could still work and have a life. Like I didn't want to be a full-time student where I was stressed all the time and I didn't have a life outside of study.
It's such a huge commitment. Like you're committing to this for, yeah. If you do it full-time, it's 4 years longer. If you do it part-time, like it's got to be something that you're able to maintain without burnout, which we'll talk about later in the pod as well.
Yeah, 100%. And it's actually funny. When I was a kid, like in high school, so I had a bit of a strange thing with my schooling as a kid. So I actually was initially homeschooled. And then I went to, for the first few years of high school, I was at a really small Christian private school. And then I went to a public school. But when I was at private school, it was like all the students were straight A students. The workload was insane. I remember being in year seven and being on summer holidays, or not summer holidays. I don't know. We had like a 2 week break. And I remember having about four or five assignments to do during that 2 week period. And this was in year seven. And I remember I remember the stress that I felt in my body. And I didn't even have pressure from my mum. Like my mum was the kind of mom that was like, as long as you get C's, I'm happy. She's like, I know that you can learn and achieve and do whatever you want to do. So as long as you're passing your subjects, I'm happy. Like she never put pressure on us to get really high grades, but all the teachers did. Anyway, I distinctly remember that feeling in my body of going to sleep at night, feeling that like panic. And I hadn't learned to not procrastinate. So obviously I left everything till the last minute. And I remember that feeling of stress. And I think even though it was so many years ago, when I started uni, I knew that I didn't ever want to experience that feeling again, which is why I chose to do part-time, because I knew that I could manage a couple of subjects and then I could still work and I could still like hang out with my friends and my partner and do stuff like that. Part-time study load, we love.
Yeah, great. Where are you? Because you started off at Endeavor and now you've gone to Torrens. Where are you in your progression? Like, are you a first year still? Are you a second year? How did you go with that?
Yeah, so I got pretty much all the subjects from Endeavor. I got like prior recognition of learning for Torrens, which is really, really good. But I'm still technically first year. So I've got one or two more subjects of first year. So next trimester, I'm actually going full time, which is three subjects at Torrens. And I'll be doing a couple of first year subjects and my first second year subject next trimester.
Yeah, awesome. What's been your favorite subject that you've done so far?
Favorite subject is the one I'm doing at the moment, which is at Torrens. It's Nutrition 1. And it's with Anne. If you guys have gone to Torrens and you've done nutrition, you've had Anne, you'll know exactly what I mean. She's just the freaking best lecturer.
I'm doing that next term.
Oh my God, she's the best. She keeps you so engaged, but she also, I love her lectures because she brings everything you learn in the lecture back to real life application, because she wants you to be ready for clinic. Even though you're still doing a first year subject, she's like, all this stuff you'll use in clinic down the track, but she gives it to you in real life scenarios instead of just like, this is what the textbook says. This is what we're talking about.
That's brilliant. And that's great insight for me. I'm very invested in this.
And you'll know exactly what I mean. She's the best.
Yeah, awesome. So it might be a bit too early to tell, but what is your, like, do you have a particular interest that you're, like, you gravitate towards within the realm of naturopathy?
Right now, I love learning about the nervous system, especially like as a female, learning about the nervous system and like how your hormones are impacted by your nervous system and just, I don't know, all the different things. But then also I'm so fascinated by the gut microbiome and there's so many different areas that I could go into. So I can't just pick one thing. There's so many different areas.
Absolutely. I feel like I find that I get interested in the stuff that I think I wouldn't be interested in as well. I was like, the gut, like, what's so great about the gut? It can't be that good. But the more I read about it, I'm like, oh, I see why people hype this up so much now.
Yeah.
how we sort of briefly touched on this, but we'll come back to it. How do you overcome low motivation and burnout or burnout?
I'll say the low motivation one, my answer to that would be I go back to my why, which is my future kids. I'm so excited to become a mum one day. And I know that when I get to that stage, I want to be qualified. And so that really keeps me going. And the life that I'm building and everything that I'm learning, it's so intertwined. I think when I go back to that why of like future kids, I'm just like, oh, yeah, okay, the fire's back, you know. I definitely haven't felt burnt out in the last few years, thankfully, but I feel like I've really learned my lesson in with past experiences of getting really burnt out and just, yeah, I don't want to go back there. So my biggest one is sleep. I probably get a minimum of like 8 to 9 hours every single night, probably more like minimum of 9 hours. I am like an 8:30 to 9 o'clock bedtime girl.
That's correct.
I'm like a 26-year-old grandma. All my friends know it. I think it's hilarious. And I'm like, I don't even care.
Are you like tucked up in bed with a cup of tea and like textbooks reading, or like, are you just lights out, we're going to bed?
No, my bedtime routine is pretty much like to the point where I subconsciously now, like I don't even really drink liquid before like probably half an hour before I go to bed, because I don't want to like have to get up and pee. Like subconsciously I don't do that now. I know. I'm like fully, it's like a full routine now. Do anything before I go to bed. If I go on my phone or like read a book or something like that, I always get really, really stimulated and it takes me ages to wind down. So usually like half an hour before I go to bed, I don't really look at my phone, I don't watch TV or anything like that. That's like my shower time, get ready for bed. And then yeah, by the time I go into bed, it's literally like I wear contact lenses. It's take out my contact lenses, turn the light off, sleep. And I'm asleep probably within 10 minutes. It's great.
I love this answer too, because it's a free resource, and I think it's something that's often overlooked, like just it's taking you right back to the base of health, like look after yourself and you won't burn out.
Yeah, so when I was younger, I don't think I started getting good quality sleep until I was 18 or 19, to the point where when I was a teenager, like I remember I would stay up until 12 to 1 o'clock in the morning reading books, and I genuinely thought that I thought there was something wrong with me because I was exhausted all the time, and to the point where if somebody said something to me, I would have to get them to repeat it 2 to 3 times before my brain would register what that actually said and then I could respond. And I also found my words would get really jumbled up. I actually thought there was something wrong with me. And then I got my first full-time job when I was like 19 or 20, and then I realized, well, I'm struggling to give people back the correct change, like with money and stuff. I need to get more sleep. So that's when I first started getting proper sleep. And then I was like, oh my God, holy moly, this whole time I just haven't been getting enough sleep. And everything changed. Like it literally was that moment of, okay, I was literally just sleep deprived majority of my life.
That's, yeah, that's wow. Wow. That would have changed your life massively, massively.
It honestly felt like a magic fix, because I genuinely thought something was wrong with me, and then I started getting enough sleep and I was like, oh. And now I'm like, you can't stop me. Like, everybody says I'll be in bed early, get more good quality sleep. Like I don't remember the last time I woke up and didn't feel well rested, and that feels like a superpower / like the best kind of gift you can give yourself.
That's incredible. And like it'll be really interesting to see in our clinics as well, how often is fatigue the number one reason why people are coming in, and it could just be your sleep hygiene.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Just going back to the question, my other thing with burnout, I feel like I have really good boundaries now. Like I know that I need to get X amount of hours of sleep every night, and so that's a really strong boundary that I have with myself.
Beautiful.
And I know when I'm starting to feel overwhelmed. And so my other key for avoiding burnout is alone time, which is what I personally need when it comes to recharging. So alone time for me is sometimes it's catching up on my favorite YouTubers. Sometimes it's reading a book, going to yoga, even to the point where if I need alone time and I can sense that in my body, I will literally say to my partner, like if we're supposed to go and get coffee together, like on a Saturday morning as like a catch up, reconnect little day, I've even said to my partner in the past, like, I'm sorry, but I really need time by myself. I will literally go get a coffee by myself and have a full journaling session and feel like $1 million afterwards. And he's so respectful of that. And, you know, if those key things aren't working for me, like if I'm, you know, getting good sleep, I'm eating well, I'm not feeling super stressed and I'm still feeling burnt out or fatigued, then it's like, oh, okay, maybe it's time to book in with my naturopath because this isn't normal, which is pretty rare. So yeah, they're kind of like my pillars for avoiding burnout.
That's brilliant. What is something that you've learned in your degree that's changed your life personally?
To be honest, I'm going to use this really, really simple thing from my nutrition lecturer because I love her.
Yeah.
She has this saying that is, and I'm sure you'll hear it if you get her next trimester. But anyway, she has this saying and it is everything in moderation, including moderation. And I think it is the most beautiful little saying because you can apply it to so many different areas of life. And I think it just promotes how important balance is. And for me personally, it's more about food and going, you know what? It's okay if you have gluten. It's okay if you have dairy. It's okay if you eat the croissant, like chocolate, whatever it is. I don't feel guilty about those things. And I think a lot of people who go into studying natural health, they've come from a background of like, I don't know. I personally came from a background of avoiding gluten and dairy and thinking I was being so healthy. And it was kind of a bit of a restrictive state of mind. And now I'm like, whatever, I'll just eat anything. So I love that saying.
And I think to add on that too, like it can be easy when you're learning something like medicine or about health, it's very easy to turn into get a bit of health anxiety from it as well. So that's a 100%. Really great reminder. What are some of your favorite resources that you utilize in your degree? So it could be to do with education. It could be to just chill out, but something that, might help the audience if they're craving more content.
Yeah. I've got a couple of little things. So my first tool I would recommend is an app called, I think it's just called Forest. And I'm sure there's probably quite a few natural health students that have heard of it, but essentially it's like a timer app where you can set a block of time and every time you complete it without like canceling the time, you get to like plant a tree or something.
It's a legit tree.
As in, no, like on the app, I thought it was a legit tree initially. I don't know if maybe you can. I don't know. It sounds weird, but anyway, it's great. You can set timers. So usually I'll do like 20 or 25 minutes. And then once you finish it and you don't like cancel it. So you do like a full block of study, you get like rewarded by being able to plant a tree. And then eventually like the more hours you spend on the app using their timer, you get to like plant an entire forest. It sounds weird, but it's kind of oddly satisfying.
And cool. And such a visual representation of like, oh, look how much study I've done. I've got a forest now.
I also love my friend Paris's Instagram account, which is called Studious Naturopath. She has, I don't know if you've heard of her. She has like the herbal reference cards.
I have heard of her. I would love to get some of those herbal reference cards. I'm going to actually link. Yeah. I'll link her in the description because we've spoken about her.
Yeah, I love her page. She shares resources for naturopathy students a lot on that Instagram account, so different books and stuff. But yeah, she also has these herbal reference cards, which I'm starting Herbal Materia Medica next trimester. So I will be able to use those and I'm so excited. But yeah, I love her Instagram account as well because she's got some great resources on there. Erin Lavelle Verinder's books, Plants for the People and also The Plant Clinic. I love those books. I haven't really used them as much for study yet, although I think next trimester I will. But yeah, lots of natural health students, you'll hear them talk about those books. And funnily enough, she is the loveliest lady. She used to come into a cafe that I worked at in Tasmania. So I've actually seen her many, many times and have had some other chats. And I mean, I have lots of naturopathy students that I follow that I love. I don't want to like list a few and not other ones, so I won't mention any, but there's also another Instagram account. So the naturopath that I go to, Brooke Clower, she owns a business called Balance Beings. I love her Instagram account. Also, she has a like practitioner account. So it's specific resources for like practitioners and students.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll pop that in the description as well. What is something you wish you knew before starting your degree?
I wish that I'd been able to find more resources, I guess, like this podcast. Like, I love that you're starting this podcast because when I first started studying, actually before I decided to start studying, I looked for YouTube channels, podcasts, Instagram accounts where I could learn about other students' experiences because I was tossing up between Endeavor and Torrens. university. So I was like, I don't know where to study. I also just wanted an insight into what the study was actually like how hard it was, like what you were learning. Like all that I could find was just what the university websites told you. And I was like, oh, I want more than this. Like I want to hear what everybody's experience has been. So I wish that there'd been resources out there like this podcast. And it's kind of the reason that I started my YouTube channel and I've started my Instagram account, was to hopefully help future students, current students to, I don't know, make the choice that suits them best when it comes to the universities. And I don't know, just give them an insight into what it's actually like studying this degree.
100%. Yeah. That's actually how I found you, was through your YouTube channel and trying to find out see a day in the life and get that insight into what's happening, because for people that don't know, it is quite an expensive degree as well, naturopathy. Yeah. And, you know, you want to be sure that you like it before you commit to something like that. Now that you've mentioned that you have gone to both Torrens and naturopathy, can I ask a cheeky question, which one you're preferring so far? And
yeah,
go for it. And one over the other?
I actually wish that more students spoke about it, because as I said, like before I started studying, I wasn't sure which one to go to. And I think like my naturopath had gone to Endeavor, so she recommended it. So I was like, great. And I had a couple of other friends who had gone there and loved it. So I was like, perfect. I'm probably going to go with Endeavor. And I also felt like their marketing was a lot more targeted towards people.
It's beautiful. Their website's stunning.
Yeah, they've definitely done really well in that respect. So yeah, that's why I went with Endeavor. I ended up doing about 8 subjects with Endeavor before I transferred to Torrens at the start of this year, so 2024. Yeah, to be honest, I prefer Torrens, but I didn't have a bad experience in Endeavor. I had a really good experience. I liked my lecturers. And now that I've gone to both, I feel like there's a lot of pros and cons to, not a lot, there's pros and cons to both of them. And if you're happy, I might actually mention a few of those, because I feel like nobody really talks about it. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with Endeavor, I loved that with their subjects, and I don't know if they've actually changed this. When I ended up transferring to Torrens, there were a few things that were changing that made me quite glad that I was leaving and moving to Torrens. But at the time that I was studying at Endeavor, they had really flexible online options where you could pretty much start majority of your subjects any month of the year. So it meant that there wasn't locked in semesters. Like you didn't have to start in May and finish on X month, you know?
That's a huge appeal.
Yeah. And then they also offered, when I was there, that you could bridge subjects. Like I mentioned, like I might on, you know, month 1 or 2, I would be studying one subject, and then month 3, I'd start 2 new ones and finish that first subject. So it was kind of like a really nice way of being able to like juggle all my subjects. So I really like that about Endeavor. And I also just love their dashboard and system. They've invested a lot of money into that. I can tell, like, it's super smooth. It looks really modern and sleek. It's super easy to navigate everything. It's really beautifully set up. However, one of the things I didn't like about Endeavor was the way the content was delivered. Now, I only did one live streamed subject, which was herbal botany and manufacturing. All the other subjects that I did, pretty much for like a subject every week, you'll have pretty much 2 slideshows to go through. They're like interactive slideshows, and there's just a bunch of information, and you go through and make notes. And these can take you anywhere from like 1 hour to go through to like 2 or 3 hours, depending on like how many notes you're taking. And then they'll also have tutorials and stuff for some subjects. Whereas at Torrens, I love that they have a lecture every week, and then you have your recommended readings, and then the other readings that they go through. Like, I feel like the workload, I feel like I've learned more in less study time, if that makes sense, at Torrens.
It's a bit more digestible, the way that they've
done it. And so much more engaging. Whereas I feel like at Endeavor, there was just so much information coming at you all the time, and there was nobody there to tell you, oh, you probably need to focus on this, learning this more than this. But yeah, that was sort of Endeavor, my experience there. And the reason that I actually transferred to Torrens initially was because, and I think a few people know about this, but basically Endeavor charge an additional 20% per subject on top of, if you're putting it on fee help, they charge an additional 20% of that subject fee, which is initially why I was going to go to Torrens. And then when I went to Torrens, they offered me, I got the Do What You Love scholarship, which gave me 20% off the whole course. So it went from being like
amazing
70 or 80 grand or whatever it is. Like it's it's expensive. It went down to being like 60 something. So that was why I initially transferred to Torrens. And then since then, I've just, there's a lot of pros with Torrens. Like, I love the way that they teach subjects. They do trimesters. So your full-time study load is 3 subjects. At Endeavour, some semesters are 5 subjects. And, you know, when I started at Endeavour, I got offered a scholarship. I think it was 20% off the whole course, like the one I got at Torrens. But the catch was that you had to study full-time for the entire 4 years. And I knew that that was never going to be possible for me. So unfortunately, I never got the scholarship. Because if you drop down to part-time at any point, you lost that scholarship. So I was like, whatever, like I can't get that. And then with Torrens, they're like, yep, as long as you're doing one subject every trimester, you can keep your scholarship.
That's great.
So anyway, I will say with Torrens, like, it's not, I don't love their like dashboard interface. Like, I find it a little bit clunky compared to Endeavour. Like, that was one thing I do miss about Endeavour. And also, I only just realized, but with Torrens, and I don't know if this is just me, but they, like, once you've submitted an assessment, you can't resubmit it. Like, you can't take it back.
Yeah. There's a lot of people on the description forums being like, I submitted the wrong thing. I submitted my draft. Yeah. Help.
Yeah. Whereas at Endeavour, like, you submit it, you get like a turn it in score. So then you can like and it will like tell you the things you need to change. Then you can like resubmit it, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that at Torrens. I don't love that feature.
Thank you so much for your candor on that. Like, that's really, I think that's really important for future students that are considering it and they just want to have like non-biased, authentic information.
Yeah.
Off of.
Yeah.
What has been some of your most difficult barriers or circumstances that you've had to overcome during your study so far?
When I think about my study journey so far, I feel pretty blessed that I haven't really had, I don't ever really think about my life as being difficult. Like, I'm pretty privileged. I think probably last year would probably have been like the harder point. So I was working, there was actually a point where I was doing 2 subjects and working 3 jobs. And that felt like a lot. And it was like leading up to Christmas. And yeah, there was just a lot going on. And one of those jobs, so last year, in October, I started working as a UGC creator, it stands for user generated content. And essentially it's working with brands and creating content for them and they purchase the content off you. But yeah, there was a point where I was working in a cafe, I was working in a bouldering gym, and then I was also doing that. And I think doing that as well, there's so much admin and stuff that goes on behind the scenes beyond just creating the content for the brands. And, you know, you're dealing with contracts and you're dealing with like usage rights and all this different stuff. And I think doing that as well as uni was a lot. Having said that though, I'm definitely not complaining because it was my choice. But I would say it was a little bit challenging and I definitely took a step back from, I ended up finishing up one of my jobs in December. So I, you know, set some boundaries and finished one of my jobs and made it work.
Good on
but
you.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't really had a hard time, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's probably a little bit challenging.
Just a bit. Three jobs, that's a massive juggle. And something that I'm learning as I'm doing this podcast too is how much time content creation actually takes up as well. Like, it's not just you have to think of fresh ideas, but there's a lot of like editing, there's research, there's so much into it. Hey, like,
yeah, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And I think most people, when they see somebody's Instagram account, they just see the Instagram account. They don't see the hours of work behind it. They don't see the hours of learning, the hours of being new at something and having to figure out how to market yourself and like how to create the content, how to edit the content, upload the content, you know, SEO and like using the right search word. Just there's so many like little things that go into it.
But I don't want that to scare people away from doing it as well, because it can be really amazing having this incredible network and connecting with other people and learning off other people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Girl, I feel like I have met so many like-minded people through Instagram. It's insane. Like, I'm living in Western Australia at the moment and I'm probably going to be here for another year or so, because I'm just finishing off all my online subjects with Torrens, and then I'm going to move to, the plan is to move to Brisbane and finish off all my on-campus stuff.
Oh my gosh, we need to catch up.
Yes, please. But I feel like there's already so many students that I've been able to connect with, to the point where even though I don't have any, technically have any like friends or family in Brisbane, I feel like I already have so many connections, and I know that I would already have a friendship circle just waiting there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I feel like without Instagram and social media, that wouldn't have existed because I would never have connected with all these amazing people.
That's so great. And it's also getting you out there. And like, I know with me, my Instagram, I'm enjoying getting myself out there and trying things out before I have to worry about, oh, is this going to affect my revenue or my future clients and stuff? Like it's so good to network at the moment. Hey.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like we could do an entire freaking podcast episode on like being a student on like Instagram and stuff in the natural health space, because it's something that I'm so passionate about.
You should. You should do that, because you know, you've got your YouTube, and I know your Instagram in particular, you're exploring like marketing strategies and content creation specifically targeted for students. You should totally do that.
Yeah, I really want my Instagram to be a place where natural health students can start to figure out how the heck to use Instagram properly as a student, because I feel like there's no information out. It's one of my goals at the moment. I'm actually working on something. So I'm going to let you in on a little inside scoop. So
you want this to not be on the pod? Like,
No. You can have it on the pod. It's all good. If people listen this far, then they get the inside scoop.
Okay, exclusive release.
Yeah, so when I first started studying naturopathy, I just wanted to create YouTube videos and like Instagram content that other students could relate to. And then I started doing UGC work. So I was working with brands and stuff. And in the UGC space, there's this whole UGC world on TikTok and Instagram of all the different UGC creators. And the community is incredible on there. Like there's so many people that are supporting each other, and it's just amazing. And there's so many coaches now that are teaching people, just everyday people, how to become UGC creators and, you know, make money on the side and all that kind of stuff. So there's just this amazing like support out there for each other. And when I first got into it, I was like, hell yeah, like I want to go and do this. It'll be so good. And it has, it's been amazing. Like I absolutely love it. And then I had this idea. I was like, gosh, I couldn't find anybody that was teaching natural health students how to market themselves on social media. And in today's day and age, I feel like when you become qualified, if you aren't on social media, unless you have a really, really good network out in the world already, it's so freaking hard for you to start and to get clients and stuff. So I feel like it's a necessity to be on social media and to have a little bit of a following on there to be successful as a practitioner.
100%.
And I feel like nobody's teaching people how to do that. So I was like, well, I feel like I've got this knowledge. Like I've worked with a UGC coach. I've worked with a business coach in the past, just with like different little business ideas that I've had. And so I've along the way, like learned about marketing and like brand colors and brand fonts and like how to show up and like how to edit videos through like YouTube and all this different stuff. And I was like, I'm going to do that because nobody's doing it. And I know that I can make an impact as a naturopath down the track. I know that I can help people, but I thought if I can teach other students and practitioners how to market themselves properly, that's so many more practitioners out there that just everyday people can stumble across their accounts if they've marketed themselves correctly. And then there's all these other people that can, natural health practitioners that can go out there and be discovered. And I'm like, wow, that impact's going to be so much greater than if I'm just marketing myself and, you know, like I can only create so much of an impact.
That's huge. So, I'm definitely going to be looking forward to this and seeing where you go with this. It's incredible. Yeah. I was just going to say, that's great that you found that niche and that gap in the market too, in a world where social media is so much about regurgitating everybody else's content. Like it's nice 100%. To see something new that hasn't been done before.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of came about in a few different ways, but I was talking to one of my friends who's a nutritionist who's going on to become a naturopath, but she's a qualified nutritionist and she's studies with Torrens. And she said, when you get to clinics, there's so many people that are asking the lecturers these questions, but a lot of the lecturers are pulling on knowledge from 5, 10, 15 years ago. And the way that you succeed as a practitioner these days that unfortunately requires, more often than not, requires social media, they don't know how to teach that because they're not on social media.
Yeah.
So it's like such a massive gap and nobody's really like doing it. So most people, I'm guessing most freshly qualified natural health practitioners go to like a social media agency or like something, somebody to get them to do like their branding and stuff. And I was like, well, what if they can learn this stuff themselves? Anyway, so basically I was like, I'm going to do that. So that's kind of what I've turned my Instagram into a little bit, just kind of sharing some tips and stuff like that for natural health students. And I most recently created a resource. It's completely free. And it's just to teach people how natural health students how to optimize their Instagram bio, like a few little tips on how to start building a community, just some stuff that you should include in your like posting schedule, just a little freebie to like help people out. But the inside scoop is that right now I'm working on a product that's going to be a digital product that anybody can purchase. It's going to be fairly cheap and it's essentially just going to teach natural health students exactly how they should show up on Instagram to be able to have a foot in the door when they graduate. And it means that if you start in your first year, even if you're only posting once a week, over 4 years, like you're building up an entire portfolio on your Instagram account. Because that's essentially what people see. Like if you're a natural health practitioner these days, I don't know about you, but if I'm looking for a naturopath, I'm going to go on Instagram.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And it's just a barrier that these newly qualified naturopaths don't have to overcome, like in regards, there's so much else to focus on when setting up practice. If you're wanting to go into one-on-one or wherever you want to go with it, there's so much more that you've got to do too. So
I pretty much, I have a lot of other products that I want to come out with, but that's what I'm working on right now because I feel like so many people would benefit from having something like this in their hands. And it will be everything. It will literally be like brand colors and fonts and like how to like build a personal brand, but it will also be what the heck to post, like how to edit, why it's important to show your face in your content, what you should have in your bio, like really in depth and also specific to like if you eventually, if you know you are a third or fourth year student and you are wanting to focus on a particular area, so say it's like mums and bubs, how to market yourself in that direction. So yeah, that's what I'm working on at the moment. Hopefully in the next few months that will be out.
So that was the answer to my what's next for you in your career.
Yeah,
brilliant.
So pretty much I'll also add on to that with what's next, because I started my degree thinking that I would go out in practice for myself, because as I said, my mom from the get-go has always been like, go and work for yourself. Like that's when you'll be the happiest. Like you get to set your own hours and do your own thing and you're not answering to a boss. And so I started my degree going, I know that I'm going to start my own clinic and do all this stuff. And it's actually shifted over the past year, which I didn't think I would say, but the naturopath that I see is Brooke Clower from Balanced Beings. And I look at what she's created and it's wild. She has like 5 or 6 naturopaths working for her now. She has somebody that packs all the products for her. She has like an online shop. She's got her practitioner hub with all the resources to help like fresh practitioners on how to like essentially like become successful. And you know what? My goal, putting out like big goals, but when I'm qualified, I would love to be able to go and work for her a couple of days a week, 1 or 2 days a week, and then be able to on the side have my own business where I create these resources for students and practitioners in the natural health space that are affordable and full of value. That's kind of my big goals right now. And I'm sure it'll probably change over the next few years, but.
Oh, 100%. It's always evolving. But for now, exactly. Brooke, if you're listening. Thank you so much for being on the pod, Naz. It's been so insightful and so fun chatting with you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I just want to know, where can our audience find you if they want to see more of your content? So plug, go for it.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram or YouTube. They're probably my two main spots for content. Just life_withNaz. That's pretty much me on everything. So yeah.
I'll link those.
If you have any questions or anything, just holler out. I'm always happy to answer them. So chuck me a DM.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hope you felt inspired and uplifted from that interview. If you would like to like and rate us on your chosen listening provider, that would really help the podcast get discovered by other people and help me out in, yeah, just my overall visibility. Please feel free to send in any feedback, questions. I'm more than happy to answer any of those at my social, Danalora D Naturopathy. I'm on all of the major platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I'm most active on Instagram though. Also, if you would like to be featured on the pod, all I ask is that you be a student in Australia and that you are in the complementary health field in some capacity. I'm always interested in interviewing new people, so please just shoot me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you all have a lovely rest of your day. Bye-bye.